Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Hold the ship so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. And he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. Amen? Hallelujah. There's something about this guy, is that right? See, Genesis, it said that, you know, have dominion over the fish. And kind of fish are kind of an odd thing to have dominion over, wouldn't you say? Because, you know, you might say, "Hey, fish, in the name of Jesus, I want you to do this." But you can't see that fish now, can you? It's underwater. As far as you know, it's nowhere around. But Jesus said to have dominion over, I mean, the Word of God, God said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. See, Jesus was showing these men something. If they remembered what they learned as they were children growing up, maybe they might have remembered that the Bible did say that the man was to have dominion over the fish of the sea. Maybe, wow, was that me? Maybe, felt like I had power there. Come on. Maybe they understood, hey, this is what it meant for man to have dominion over the fish. Seems like a simple thing, but, you know, I'm going to say, wow, here it is again. Seems like a simple thing. The fact of the matter is, it's not a simple thing to command a bunch of fish to get in a net. How many know that? Fish don't just jump in there, man. Yeah, they just say, "Hey, it's a net. Let's go get in there." Hallelujah. They don't do that. I'm going to tell you about another one. I like to call this guy Oyedo. I was reminded by my son-in-law this morning. He goes, "Hey, man, that fish was named Oyedo." And what does Oyedo mean? Hear. Ear. This little fish was able to hear. I want you to check this fish story out. It's going to be in Matthew chapter 17. Starting at verse 24, the Bible says this, "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, 'Doth not your master pay tribute?' And he said, 'Yes.'" Right away, when the tax guy comes, what are you going to say? "Oh, yeah, we do. Do you pay your taxes?" "Oh, yeah, I do." Even if you don't, even if you hadn't, you're going to say, yeah, just, okay, I'll get it. But he says, "Does not your master pay tribute?" And he said, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute of their own children or of strangers?" Peter said to him, "Of strangers." And Jesus said to him, "Then are the children free." I want you to look at this just for a minute. Go over this when you get a chance to go home at home. Jesus is talking about the provision of his father into his children's lives. Can I say that to you? He said the children are free. You know what? Can I tell you that if you will just trust God with everything, your provisions, everything that you have, if you trust him with it, you're going to find that not only will he take care of you. How many like being taken care of? Come on, man. But he will begin to bless those things that you have. And bless, in order so you can bless it. I don't think God has any problem at all with us having money. How many know that? How many know that? As long as we don't just hoard it. How many know that? As long as he can, you know, he don't have no problem getting money to you as long as he can get it through you. It's a flow. We talked about that, amen? It's a flow. God brings it to you so he can get it through you to help the lost, to help those. So look at this passage of scripture, because Jesus is saying a very crazy thing. He say, man, the children are free. The children of who? The children of the kings. Royalty. And can I tell you, folks, every one of you in the house is royalty. Amen. You're all royalty. Yeah. Come on, man. How many like that? Hallelujah. God said, put the royal robe on him. Yeah. When you came back to Jesus, put the royal robe on him. Yeah, but he stinks. I don't care. Put it on him. Put that ring on him. Amen. Come on. You are royalty. Hallelujah. Come on, man. And then it says, Peter said of strangers, and Jesus said to him, then the children are free. Verse 27 says this, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that first comes up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and for thee. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that a cool story? Has anybody in the house ever done that? Oh, man. Folks, I'm talking about authority. And authority that flows through obedience. I want you to read a scripture. It's in Romans. I want to read this to you. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let's just look at that real quick. Romans 13, 1. Says this, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Do you see that? That's our power verse this morning. Let every soul be subject to higher powers. Can I tell you, until I understood the Lord, until the Lord came into my life, I didn't understand the higher powers. Do you guys know what I meant? I always had a respect for God. I always knew, well, God, you know, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I had this, and the Catholic Church, I think they taught me well, because the Catholic Church helped me to I don't want to go with it because it squeaks. The Catholic Church helped me to honor God, to reverence God. But God had more for me. Amen. Hallelujah. But it wasn't until I met Jesus Christ that I actually met authority. Can I tell you? Because in my life, I had no authority. I was trying to quit drinking at the time. I was an alcoholic. I would drink too much. And my mom told me, I told your wife to divorce you. I said, thanks, Mom. I didn't tell you that. I kind of played it off. Oh, Mom, shh, quiet. But I really had no power to release myself from drinking. Just had it and didn't have it. But when God came into my life, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I met authority. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Come on, man. And it's nice. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We need to look a little bit and see authority that's around us. Okay, I'm going to get to that. But right now, I want to talk to you about oído. Who's oído? It's the fish. It's the fish. It's the little fish. I like to call him oído because this fish, did you guys see the fish that Peter pulled out? Did you guys, anybody? Well, he had ears this big. I don't know that. I'm just saying that because this fish knew how to hear God. You know, can I tell you that? Can you imagine Jesus telling Peter, go down, throw in a hook and pull up the first fish. Open his mouth, you're going to find a piece of gold in there or a coin or whatever. I don't know what it was. In order for that to happen, number one, hey, let's talk about oído. He had to have ears to hear what God was saying to him. Can you imagine him swimming along, happy-go-lucky, out there far enough away from the shore? So he goes, because I know them men, they like to throw hooks in there, and they'll catch me. So he's out there fishing, cruising around, and all of a sudden he hears the Lord saying, "Well, you though?" Yeah. He goes, "Yeah, Lord." He goes, "I got something for you. Come over here." This is the Lord talking to this little fish, okay? Okay, go along with me, all right? Are you crazy? See that piece of gold right there? Oído? Yes, yes, sir. Pick it up. I don't eat gold. I eat bugs. What do fish eat? I don't know what they eat. Worms. I eat worms. I don't eat gold. He says, pick it up and put it in your mouth. Okay, you're the Lord. Picks it up. And he swims over and he says, where are you going, oído? I want you to swim up to the shore. To the shore? No, men are over there. Go to the shore, oído. Okay, so he swims over to the shore. And while he's up close to the shore, the Lord says, "Oído." Yeah. "You see that thing over there? You know what that is? That's a hook. That's a hook, Lord. That's a hook. Yeah. Go bite it." "Oh, no, Lord. No, no, no. God, you know what they do? You know what they do? They'll have me on a plate." "Oído. Keep that piece of gold in your mouth and go over there and get on that hook." Next thing Oído knows, he's being pulled up. "I told you, Lord. I told you, Lord. I'm dead." Peter looks, opens his mouth, grabs the gold, tosses the fish back in the ocean.
Amen.
Can I tell you, sacrifice is hard, isn't that right? Obedience can be hard, isn't it? Can obedience be hard? Oh, man, obedience can be hard. I was telling Steve the other day, I had two trucks. I had a truck that I just bought. It was an old junker. I got it from the Firestone that's down on Continental. I had it because I was actually building up my other truck. I had a 1970 International four-wheel drive. It's a great big thing, short bed. Beautiful truck to me. You guys might not like International, but it was a nice truck. It was built up. The tires are about this tall. And it was built out there for where I live. And I had it all built up. It was bad on gas because it was a muscle truck. It really was. It was a truck to get up and in and out of the hills. A friend of mine came by one day and he goes, "Hey, I stopped this guy. I stopped on the freeway. This guy had broke down and his truck messed up. Can he bring it to your house so he can see if we can fix it?" I said, "Yeah, sure. Why not? You know, I had 7 acres. So yeah, bring it in there and everything." And he calls me up later and he says, "Hey, he found a place to park it. Somebody else let him, so he's not gonna, that way we don't have to take it all over your house. If you've been to my house, it's quite a ways out there." But this brother told me something on the phone that he goes, "Hey, I had a dream about you giving," the guy's name was Gustavo, "you're giving him your truck." I said, "Freaking shut up. I ain't giving nobody my truck, man. I just got through overhauling the engine, doing the front end, and no way. Had brand new tires on it, rims and everything. Had it fixed up." So I said, "No, man, shut up." So a few days later, just to make things fast, Rosie tells me, she goes, "I had a dream. You gave a guy from Mexico your truck." "You what?" I said, "Shut up." I said, "No, not you two. Were you talking to Andy?" That's the brother that was in. "Were you talking to him?" He goes, "No, what are you talking about?" I said, "No, no." And I had that other little pickup I was driving around. And later on, I was praying one night, and the Holy Spirit said this to me. He says, "Henry, if you see your brother has need and you have it by you, how, and you don't feel that need, if you don't, you see your brother have need and you have it and you don't give it, how does the Spirit of God dwell in you? He's not dwelling in you." And I said, "Lord, what are you telling me?" "Give him your truck." "Ay, chihuahua. You know what? Isn't that right? Give him your truck." "No, I can't. Lord, I'll give him the little one. I'll give him the old one. I'll give him the junker." You know what? God didn't want. I knew in my heart what God was talking about. I knew it. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you, obedience sometimes hurts. Isn't that right? Reluctantly, I gave the brother the truck. When we went to the bank where my wife worked, one of the ladies in the bank told me, "Are you stupid?" "Yeah, okay." She goes, "Well, I can't do it I got to see a bill of sale." I said, "Gustavo, you got a dollar?" "Yeah, bought my truck for a dollar."
"Oh, yeah."
It was the hardest thing for me to do. And it's crazy. We had called up the wife. He called Gustavo and he brought his wife and his kids over. Called him for dinner, and I was going to give him the truck. And when I handed the keys, man, you know, he's all happy. He's, yeah, all right. And then his little boy come up to me and just looked. I mean, his head was about right here, and he's looking at me crying. I mean, literally crying and just saying, gracias, hermano. Gracias, gracias, gracias. Yeah, whatever. Can I tell you, I wasn't a happy camper. Can I tell you that? I put a lot of time in that truck. And she said, God knows all this. I mean, God knows that. Isn't that right? And it's crazy because I'm just it wasn't too long after that that I was staying in a place here, and he was from Mexico, and he had called me and he said, hey man, I want you to come to Tucson. Can you come to a church with me? And I said, it's okay. I don't feel like going. He goes, no, really. I need you to come. I said, you need me to come? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, I'll come. So we went down there. And then while he's a preacher, and while he was preaching, he stopped and he told me to stand up. He goes, hey, this is the brother that gave me the truck and all this stuff. And I go, oh man, I didn't feel like, you know. And so on the way out, I had some folks say, "Goes, hey, you got another truck you can give away?" I said, no, I don't. And it seemed like I was getting angry at God. Do you know what I mean? Because of all these little tiny details, because I really, but yet I was obedient. It turns out just a little while after that, this brother got caught peeping Tomming some people's houses. And oh man, I said, God. So now I had brothers and sisters in the Lord coming to me and says, man, boy, you called that wrong, bro. He said, man, that guy caught him peeping Tomming, and they're going to send him back to Mexico. Oh, man. And you gave him your truck, rubbing it in. How many of you know it's kind of rough on me? I said, yeah, this is not easy. So I went to God. I said, okay, Lord, what's up? I wasn't too happy. I started talking to the Lord. I said, God, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I went to bed and I woke up after a dream I had. And in the dream, that little boy, Gustavo's son, was in the dream. And he was looking up at me and he was telling me, gracias, hermano, gracias, gracias. I could hear his voice in my dream, and I woke up. And this is what the Lord said to me. That gift was not for his dad, it was for him. He will take that truck and use it for the gospel. He's my servant. And see, I mean, and you know what? And all of a sudden, all those things, can I tell you, God has a way of removing those things from you. Isn't that right? Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. But see, the thing is to be obedient. God asks nothing more from us but be obedient. Love him and be obedient in the things that he tells you. Can I tell you, it's hard to hear what he's telling you if you're not spending time in his presence. Can I tell you that? It's hard to hear. There are blessing over blessing over blessing over blessing. And this doesn't have to be just the experiences that God brings to you. They are blessings for you that strengthen you and build you and causes you to pastor a church someday. Hallelujah. But it's important that we're obedient, like Oído. To him, he was a dead fish. Amen. I'm dead. Man, I'm going to be salted and peppered, and man, I'm going to be somebody's treat. Sacrifice. It's crazy. Can I tell you, God knows what he's doing? Amen?
Amen.
He knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that Jesus was very obedient? Do you know that? Authority flows through obedience. And here, let me just give you a couple of scriptures. I just want to talk to you. Don't want to keep you here too long, but Mark chapter 11, verse 28, when Jesus was doing miracles. And he had actually, in this chapter, he had actually just kicked over the money changers and ran all these people out. He goes, man, are you carrying that? Put it down and get out or whatever. I don't know what, gee, I don't really know. But he had purged the temple is what the Word of God says. And the Pharisees came up to him and they asked him this question. They said unto him, by what authority dost thou these things? Oh, I know it's King James, I'm sorry. And said unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And then they asked him also, who gave thee this authority to do these things? Who gave him the authority to do these things? The Father, is that right? And by what authority? Can I tell you that authority flows through obedience? Because Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus learned it that way, you can say, oh man, no, you guys don't want to hear this. But if Jesus learned it that way, guess what? How you're going to learn obedience? By the things that you suffer, the things you go through. Hallelujah. Jesus was very obedient to his Father. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says this. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there he prayed. See, this was his habit. Jesus would do this over and over. Can I tell you, Jesus was listening to what his Father had to say. There's a place in the scriptures when he was telling the Pharisees, I do nothing by myself, but everything that the Father shows me, that's what I do. He reveals to me what's going to happen, and that's what I do. Could it be that that's what he's trying to do in your life? Amen. He's trying to show you what he wants to do that day. But we're too busy with my bacon and sausage. Oh, no, wait a minute. Egg McMuffin. I don't know what you're doing. Folks, can I tell you something? God is really, 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 really calling us into his presence. He really wants to. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says this. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and did what? Prayed. Prayer, folks, God. Folks, we cannot do this thing without prayer, without listening to the Father. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Matthew 17:5 says this. Jesus had taken a few of the apostles up to the top of a mountain. And there they saw Moses. I mean, Jesus was transfigured before them. And they saw Moses. They saw Elijah. And right away, Peter says, I mean, just like folks, hey, how about we build a tabernacle, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah right here. It's kind of the way we are. Trinket bound. We do things with, say, man, we know, let's make a memorial here, No, man, these things are real. They are right now. God is doing things right now. Can I tell you that? And when he said, when he looked at that, he goes, he told the disciples, they heard a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And then he said this, hear him. God the Father spoke from heaven and said, I'm well pleased with this. For one thing, he left his garments, kingly robes, and his as the son of God in heaven, and he came down to earth to be one of us. And then he's spending his time with his Father, speaking what his Father was telling him to do. That's what Jesus did. Jesus did not operate any different than you and I should operate. He was an example for us. He was a pattern for us to follow. That's why Jesus came, to show us what a real man of God it looks like on the earth. Praise God. So that we can say, okay, this is what he did. I'm going to do that. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do what Jesus does. Hallelujah. Spending time in his presence. John 6:38, Jesus tells the Pharisees this, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. How many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of you in your heart, they said, this is what I'm here for. I'm here to do the will of my Father. I want to do the will of my Father. I won't put up the power verse again, but I want to add verse 2. It says Romans chapter 13, 1 and 2. For I came down from, that's Romans chapter 1 verse, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Everybody say ordained of God. Ordained. Every power that you can see on the earth is ordained of God. Every power. And he says, whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. You see that? And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Everybody say, oh no. Oh no. Can I tell you, it's important that we understand what this word, what the scripture is saying. This scripture is talking about power. There are delegated powers, if you will, all over the earth. Is that right? I mean, we have governments. We have, you know, we have police departments, we have school systems, we have all these types of things all over the earth. And God has said, God has told us, I want you to be subject to that. How many broke the speed limit this morning coming to church? One? Only one willing to say. Yeah. I was watching my wife, I think she did, just a little bit. I was like, yeah, okay. But it's important that we recognize those that are over us. Is that right? Can I tell you, the police department is a power that is over us. How many know that? You need to know that. And to resist them, what does he say? Resist the ordinance of God. Come here, Sissa. Come here. I spent 15 years as a youth pastor. And I would, Pastor, I got to take a break. I'm going to go to California. And we would go stay at this man's house. I mean, I wasn't ashamed. I want to get in a hotel. I want to be close. I'm a Cesar makeup. And they would, even if I slept on the floor, if my kids slept on the floor, we'd stay at your house, wouldn't we? Because I recognized someone that had delegated power. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? The delegated power that this man had, I would go over there and I'd say, hey, man, they're telling me that, you know, I'm a pastor. And he said, well, yeah, you are a pastor. I said, yeah, but that's a weird term for me. I don't like the feeling of it. Remember?
I do.
And he told me, he says, they need a pastor. You pastor them. You see, this man was a voice. He was a delegated power over me. God sent me to him to hear what he had. And I still like hearing what he says.
Amen.
He's a man of God.
Amen.
This man has the ability to speak what God's saying to you. Because he honors God. And he knows who God is. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I love you, man. But listen to me. I'm glad he came today, because I didn't know he was going to come till Jason told me, hey, man, he's coming. I said, yeah, all right. We all have men and women that are authorities over us. How many know that? Every one of you. Can I say that's why it's so important you come to church, so you can get to know the men and women that have authority over you. That's why. Because to me, it's a foolish thing to try to say, hey, I'm your pastor. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't feel good to me. Even though God has positioned me that way. God has positioned Pastor John. God has positioned Pastor Pat. See, it's God's positioning. As a man of God, I try not to do anything on my own. If I try to do anything on my own, do you guys remember? Oh, man, I should have looked it up before. Do you remember Abihu and what was that? Aaron's sons. I don't know, what was it? Sessa? Jonadab? Dad? Sessa going, no, you got it wrong, bro. Anyway, do you guys remember them? Do you remember what they did? The Bible says that they offered strange fire on the altar. It also says in there, if you read about them, they got cooked. The fire of the Lord came out and it burned them up. Get out of this mouth. They took them out. The Bible says because they offered strange fire, and then the Word of God actually says because they did what they were not commanded to do. And folks, can I tell you something? Your life would be so much easier if you just relax and let God tell you to do what he wants you to do. Can I just say that to you? Because the fact of the matter, you might be running around trying to do everything, trying to be that Christian. I'm a Christian, and so I got to do this, I got to do that. And what you're doing is you're neglecting. God would say, look, Just come into my presence. Let me speak to you. Because sometimes I watch folks and I see they're working hard at their Christianity. I say, hey, man, work that hard to get into the presence of God and allow him to speak to you what he has for you.
That's right.
You will be so much more effective if you do what he says. Can I tell you, it's important you quit offering strange fire. You quit standing and trying to do what you want to do. Because folks, there's people all over the call themselves Christians, and they only do what they want to do. They will not become servants. They will not serve their brothers and sisters. Therefore, God is looking at them and saying, you are resisting the ordinance that I've placed in the earth that says all the powers that have been given are of God. Isn't that something? You see, God's ushering a kingdom into the earth. And this kingdom, believe it or not, operates by obedience. It's an obedient kingdom. It is everything is to the Father. And you cannot be obedient to the Father by not listening to him. You have to take time in your prayer closet. I will tell you this morning, God is calling the church into the closet. I've said that before. He's calling the church into the secret place of the Most High. He says, I've got a secret place for you. Come and meet with me. You will know what I have for you. You'll see. You'll see the things that I have for you. But you got to come to me. I mean, I wish I could give you these things, folks, but I can't. You need to find that on your own. Is that good? Quit being rebellious. Now, I'm not speaking to everybody, but I'm speaking to everybody. How's that, man? Come on, man. What are you talking about, man? You're confusing me. No, man. Myself included. There's been times where I've gone a few days and go back into the closet, and I was like, almost where God's saying, man, where you been? You know where I've been. I've been busy. Yeah. How busy should you be? The Word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God. And all those other things will be added to you. Is that right? Is that correct? Oh man, let me better move out. I had a supervisor that I had gotten laid off from the mine, and I went back to work. And the first supervisor that I had when I got back to work, he knew who I was. He knew I was a Christian. And so I worked with him for the whole amount of time was about a month and a half. But in that month and a half, about the third week I was in there, he thought it was a cool thing that he would tell me. We'd have a line out meeting at 7:30. And as soon as he stepped into the meeting, he'd tell me, he goes, Henry, grab your tools. Don't put them on a truck. Go up to Zero Mill and wait for us up there. And that was a long ways off. I said, okay. Grab my tools, headed on up there. Didn't tell me what to do, just told me to grab my tools and head up there. Okay. So this started happening almost every day. He'd tell me, don't put your tools on the truck. Leave that for the guys. They're going to load all their tools. You can take your tools, go up to number 7 mil, go up to 9 mil. He was telling me and finally one of the guys on the crew is a good friend of mine. When I got up, when he told me, Henry, get up to one of the mills, this friend of mine got up with me. He goes, where are you going? He goes, I'm going with him. He goes, I'm tired of this. My friend's name was Carlos. And he looked at me, and I go, man, I said, man, what's up with you, man? He goes, hey, man, I'm tired of this, man. It was funny the first couple of times, because there you went. That's the way he used to talk to me. He goes, it was funny the first couple of times, but after a while, it wasn't funny anymore. But everybody laughs. And he goes, you know, they're laughing at you, Henry. I said, it's okay. You see, Carlos, I know the authority. I know God. And I'll submit to his authority, to my supervisor. I'm going to submit to my supervisor. Can I tell you, a lot of you aren't advancing because you have not yet learned to submit to your supervisor? You haven't learned that that's an authority over you. Whether they're good or bad, it doesn't matter. Is that right? Do you remember how David submitted to Saul? He was an authority over him, and that's what he saw. So, hey, I'm going to submit to him. You want to advance, but you won't hear what the Word of God is saying. Submit to the authority. When you begin to submit to these authorities, now if they do, they tell you to do something wrong. You know what I mean? Because there is an example in the Scriptures where they told the apostle to do something wrong. They told, you will not preach Jesus in this city from now on. Do you hear us? There's the Pharisees telling the apostles, and the apostles, if you, I think, if you think it's better for us to listen to you than to God, you judge. Ooh, they couldn't come back on that. Do you know that Jesus even submitted to authorities? We read it earlier. When he said, when they asked Peter, does your master pay tithes or does he pay taxes? And he says, yes. And Jesus said, Jesus told them, he goes, lest we offend them. You hear that? That's his words. Lest we offend them, go down to the lake, throw a hook in there, and catch a fish. See, even Jesus said, I'm not going to offend. They asked Jesus one day, they go, hey, is it lawful to give tribute unto tribute? Jesus was not a rebellious man, was he? Hey, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and the things that are God's, give those to God's. Easy. See, God tells us to submit. He says we need to understand, if you understand the power of the authority that's above you, that God is over all the authorities, it's going to be easy to submit. Anything else, the Bible calls it rebellion. It's rebelling against the authority that God has set up. Yeah, that person over you might be horrible, but still your attitude is, well, he's an authority over me, so I will do the work. If he tells me to stay out in the sun all day long, I will stay out in the sun all day long, and I'll do what this man tells me, because he is, God sees the authority that's there. Does God see it or not? Absolutely, he sees it. Men, can I tell you that you are the authority of your house? Can I tell you that? And women, you need to look at them as the authority. Maybe they don't understand everything that you do and everything, but yet they are an authority in your households. They are the authority. So the Word of God says, submit. Children, I don't see very many kids here. Submit to your sit, children, obey your parents. Is that right? How many like that? How many obeyed your parents? How many were riotous with your parents? How many gave your mom and dad fits? Anybody here? I know Cesar did. I know Pastor John. I did too. Yeah. You've got to understand authority, and it makes it easy to obey authority. Is that right? Is that correct?
Right.
I know. Come on, man. Talking to you this morning. The Lord is talking to us. He says we have to understand this thing has been established this way. Hallelujah. Just to finish, I was, like I say, I worked a month and a half in that, and I was up cleaning off a pump. It's full. I mean, there's sand all over. I had already set up all the things. The guys hadn't even gotten there yet. I had put my cables on I had put my impact wrench ready to go. Everything was hooked up. I was ready to go. All I had to do was clean it off a little bit. So I was cleaning it, and these hoses that we clean would have a lot of power. And I'm spraying and I'm going good and I'm leaning because the hose is like a fireman's hose and I'm squirting. And all of a sudden, somebody shut it off. And I almost, and I turned around kind of upset, and it was my supervisor. I go, hey man, what's going on? What's going on? And I didn't say anything bad to him. And he comes over and he starts screaming at me. How come you did this? How come you haven't done this? I said, man, it's all ready. It's already. What do you want? What do you want me to do? Do this, do that, do that. And cussed at me a little bit, turned around and walked away. All because I know why he was doing it. Because I was a Christian. Trying to see how far he could push me. And he's walking away and I hear this, Sister Stella, can you whistle like you did this morning? Sister Stella was whistling this morning. Yeah. But I heard this loud whistle, and I looked up on the deck above me, and there was a supervisor that was higher than him. And he looked at me, and he goes, basically telling me he saw me. I got a little worried about it. I go, what did I do? I said, whatever these two guys are upset about. I thought he was upset at me. I went down to lunch, and that man walked up to me. His name was Lynn Stone. He's a great guy. Came up, and he says, next week you're on my crew. I'm pulling you off of that crew. And, oh, my goodness, I couldn't believe it. It was an honor to me to be on that man's crew. He was a good supervisor. And, man, I served him well. And it paid out. But you see, God does see these things. God watches over us. But yet, even though you have somebody that's over you, that's giving you frustrations, everybody gotten frustration with that person over you? Anybody here ever gotten frustrated with that person over you? Has you ever been frustrated with them? That frustration is designed to take you to a revelation so God can take you. Give you a revelation so he can bring you into a destination he has for you. It's cool, man. It's the greatest thing. It's the way God does things. Is that right? Come on, man. And folks, as the kingdom of God, we need to recognize these things and we need to walk in them. Walk in that assurance that God has you. No matter who is telling you, what he's telling you, I mean, you just be obedient and you watch, because authority begins to flow through obedience. That's where it comes from. When you obey the powers that be, you watch. God does not just set leaders, and he doesn't make leaders. He makes servants and they become leaders. And because they're servants, they hear and they do, and they hear and they do. That's what Oyedo did. He heard the Lord and he did. He heard and he did. He heard and he did. And that's what he's calling for you. Hallelujah. I got this one scripture I want to read. I didn't put it down, but I'm going to read it to you. It's 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel told Saul, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Idolatry. You know that being stubborn in these things will not profit you. It just won't. Because the kingdom of God is in force. The kingdom operates out of obedience. That's cool. Isn't that right? Can we stand just for a second? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah. What I want to say to you this morning, what I want to do this morning, because I feel that maybe all of us have had these moments where we have maybe said things about somebody, or even because they're over us, and we thought there was a freedom to do it. And you know, God, I just tell you this, there's no freedom to speak over somebody that's higher than you. There's no freedom. God does not give that. To speak against them, to belittle them, and God is saying no. And you need to recognize it. And I hope this message this morning will come to your mind when you go to, just before you let it out of your heart, you say, I'm not going to do that. And you stop. Because what is happening in this kind of attitude with the church, that the church thinks that they can speak about anybody, anytime, anywhere, to anybody. I mean, it's not right. It's not right. God says, no, no. You want authority, but you're not acting like you're subject to the higher powers. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God wants us to be subject to the higher powers. So what I want to do right now, I just want to pray. I just want to bow our heads. I want to ask God to forgive us. Is that okay? I'm just going to do a blanket. Lord, would you forgive us, Father, for the things that we've said? Would you forgive us, Father, that for being rebellious, for saying things about our authorities. Lord, help us never again to offer a word of rebellion about those that are in authority over us. Thank you for it, Father. I give you praise and glory and honor, Father. Forgive us. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, forgive us, Father. Help us never to have a rebellious attitude, Father. Help us, Father, to maintain who you are within us, Lord. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. Thy kingdom come, Father, thy will be done. Here on earth as it is in heaven, Father. So we thank you for it, Lord. There is none like you, Father. Yes, sir.
This is John back here. I'm behind you.
Oh, there you are.
Tell us about that. We need to speak forgiveness to those that have spoken against us. So we forgive those that have raised things against us in the leadership. And we ask for God's forgiveness to be and freedom to be upon each one of us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Father. Hallelujah. Can I say the joy of the Lord is my strength? Amen. Come on, hallelujah. Can I say, hey, it is good. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. And can I tell you, repenting is a great thing, isn't it? Praise God. Let's sing this. Let's sing a song and let's worship the Lord in a song before we go out. And when the song finishes, shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck and tell them, hey, glad you were here today. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You could connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.